I have a very exciting announcement. The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is coming. From February 17th through the 21st, the Schoolhouse Rocked team is gathering your favorite speakers in one place and hosting a one-of-a-kind live and interactive online event called the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. This will be a full week of encouragement, resources, and community, as we'll be addressing the most important issues that homeschool families face. You'll have the opportunity to interact live with our phenomenal lineup of speakers, receive a swag bag full of excellent and helpful resources, and have a chance to win valuable prizes. We already have some great speakers lined up, including Sam Sorbo, Israel Wayne, Ginger Hubbard, Rachel Carmen, Dorinda Wilson, Abby Ranella, Karen DeBuse, Anna Willis, and Connie Albers, and many more to come. The price for this live online event is only $20, which also gives you lifetime access so that you can enjoy it whenever you want. However, if you register prior to December 31st, you'll pay the early bird price of only $15. Register today at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I hope you've had an amazing year and have so much to be grateful for. God is so good. This week, we're bringing you a bonus episode for Thanksgiving, but I also wanted to let you know about some important things that are coming up. First, tomorrow is Black Friday, and we've put together a great collection of Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals for our listeners. Check out the show notes for a link to our Black Friday page or visit schoolhouserocked.com/Black Friday. We have never offered a better deal on Backstage Pass memberships, and we're offering early bird pricing on lifetime access to the 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo, a live interactive online event. I am so excited about this event. As you heard in the pre-roll ad, this is going to be a fantastic opportunity to be encouraged and equipped as we enter the new year. I also want to let you know that in January, we'll be going to 2 episodes per week. Episodes of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast have been running between 35 and 40 minutes, and we want to make them a little more manageable. So we're going to be releasing 2 20-minute episodes a week and still offering great bonus content on the Backstage Pass website. We're really excited about this change, and we think you're really going to appreciate the bite-sized episodes. Finally, I want to thank you, our listeners, for being with us every week. It is such a privilege to be able to encourage you on your homeschool journey and talk with you each week as we have these amazing guests on who have been there. They understand homeschooling. They have such great encouragement and resources to bring. And it is an absolute joy to be able to be on this journey with you. We don't take it lightly, and we know we could not do it without you. So thank you. We wish you many blessings throughout the rest of 2019 and into the new year. Now enjoy this Thanksgiving bonus episode with Roxanne Parks. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton back with you on the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. And as always, I have a great guest on with me today. Her name is Roxanne Parks, and some of you have heard of her, I'm certain of it, and some of you have not, and so I'm excited to introduce her to you. And Roxanne is the author of a book. I actually got to meet her when we were filming in Vancouver, Washington with Heidi St. John for Schoolhouse Rocked, and she had written a book called Are You Enough? Encouragement for the Overwhelmed and Exhausted Homeschool Mom. And I can hear all of you moms raising your hands over there saying, yes, that's me. And so I was excited to get this book from her and get to meet her and spend some time with her and her husband. And so I said, I've got to have you on the podcast. So welcome to the podcast, Roxanne.
I'm super excited to be here, and I'm super proud of you for all you and your husband are doing.
Oh, thank you. Only by God's grace are we being able to accomplish any of this. So thank you for your encouragement. It's so funny. We planned to do this podcast today, and the book is called Are You Enough? And it's one of those topics that we hear it all the time from moms, always, you know, I'm not enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not organized enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not whatever enough to mother my kids, to homeschool my kids. Moms are just overwhelmed and overburdened with this idea that we're not enough. And so when you and I got on today, I think you just could read my face, and immediately you said, you just encouraged me. You encouraged me and you said, let's pray. And you just prayed over me. And I was like, I said, could you see it on my face?
I'm telling you, every woman out there carries that burden of sufficiency. Mm-hmm. And I know if you're a mom and are trying to do a timely podcast, that in and of itself can be exhausting.
Yes.
So I was just glad to get to pray for you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It was a great encouragement to me, really lifted my spirits. So you are the mother of five grown children.
I would have taken another, but we had four.
Four. Okay. Four grown children.
Right. I'm an empty nester, and I'm here to tell all the mothers out there that my favorite season of all the seasons has been the empty nest.
Really?
That can't be. Oh, wait. When your kids are launched as arrows and they're actually independent and competent and living on their own, and you have your honey back together with you, it's been really great for us. So let me give that hope to any of the listeners out there.
Well, that is encouraging. I'm still in the phase of I cannot even imagine my children ever leaving me because I so enjoy them. And not that you didn't enjoy your kids, but like I really, really like being with them because they're just fun. And I can't even wrap my mind around the day that they both leave. And
I know. Well, you know, as a mom, we tend to have this feeling we want to freeze frame them all the time.
Right.
I wanted to freeze frame them at my favorite age, which was 18 months. And then I wanted to freeze frame them at 3 and then again at 5 and 7 and 9. And I remember wanting to freeze frame them.
Right.
And then the teenage years, maybe not so much. But, you know, in the teenage year, they're trying to rise up and have dominion over all of their earth.
Sure.
So there's a whole nother set of us, you know, wills and wiles and ways going on in your house, but you do want to launch them. But what's so funny is as much as I wanted to freeze frame them, I couldn't. And to watch them rise up and become independent, competent thinkers, you know, the mom's biggest burden generally is that their kids see the salvation of Christ in their lives and be able to live eternally with their parents or just eternally, period. But I promise you of it. Live every day as if you want to freeze frame them and enjoy them. But it's still great. No matter what season, they're all good.
Yes, I agree. I mean, you're absolutely right because my youngest just turned 9 and it seems like every year I'm like, this is my favorite. Actually, 3 years old with my youngest was my least favorite because that was a tough year for us. But it got better and better after that. And it's true. I mean, I love pretty much every season that we've had with them. And every year comes with new challenges, but it comes with new blessings and joys and just a different part of their childhood and growing up. Yeah. And they think differently. They're maturing in different ways. And it's just fun. It's fun.
Well, extrapolate that. If it's gotten better all the time, extrapolate that.
Yes, yes.
And it does get better. And I have to tell you, I just became a grandma 3 months ago.
Oh, fun.
And everybody that's gone before me and become a grandma, they've said that this is the best yet. And so I'm getting ready to go visit my grandson in Huntington Beach, California, in another month. And I, so far, so good, have loved being a grandmother as well.
So fun. Yes, I do look forward to that stage, but it's still quite a ways
not
off
yet.
For me. So not yet. Anyway, so let's talk about this book that you have. And not just about the book. I want to talk about this idea of, are you enough? And, you know, just I think that oftentimes when we're in ministry and we're doing things for the Lord, as we're approaching a specific topic or something, you know, if we're speaking on marriage or parenting, that's where Satan really tries to attack us. And I'm telling you, this week, I have really felt the attack of this very specific topic in my life and just feeling like I'm just not doing it right. I feel like everything is kind of chaotic and not that I'm completely disorganized, because I'm not. It's just that I feel like I can't be enough for everybody. As a matter of fact, I was I texted a good friend of mine a few days ago, and I just said to her, I said, do you know that I live in a constant state of guilt? And I know that might sound strange, but I didn't even think about this book until after I sent this to her. I said, I always am feeling guilty for something, always. I feel guilty that I'm not a good enough wife, I'm not a good enough mom, I'm not a good enough homeschool mom, I'm not a good enough daughter, I'm not a good enough sister, I'm not a good enough friend, I'm not a good enough movie producer or podcast host. I'm so critical of myself, and I always feel guilty because something is being dropped, something is being left behind, and I can't possibly keep up with everything that I'm trying to do, and I can't do it all the as well as I want to do it all. So we're gonna, if we can role play a little bit here, Roxanne, I'm gonna sit in one of those chaise lounges and I'm gonna pour my little heart out to you like I just did, and help me because I know that I'm not the only mom who feels this way. I'm not the only mom who just always is feeling like I'm just not doing it well enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not getting up early enough. I'm going to bed too late. I'm going to bed too early. It just goes on and on and on. And I know, and you and I talked about this shortly before we jumped on the podcast, is that Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And I know that he's out to get us as moms. He's out to get us as Christians. He's out to get us as wives, and he wants to destroy our families. He wants to destroy our souls, and he does not want us to be effective in the things that God has called us to do. So you're a life coach, you're a Christian mama, you're now a grandma, you're a speaker, you're an author. So help me out here and help all those other moms who are listening along with me.
Okay. Well, at some of our women's events that I would love to be around anybody at any of the women events that I get to do, and I'd love to do women events for any of the listeners. One of the workshops we did one year was called Help, I Need a Vacation from My Guilt Trips. And it was when you said, I feel guilty about everything, no matter what I'm doing, I feel guilty about what I'm not doing.
Right.
And it is such a lie that we can do everything every minute in every second, all simultaneously. And yet we live under the pressure of that. And so I just think somewhere, I want to say to the heart of a woman or even you, Yvette, are you tired of feeling that way yet?
Oh, totally.
Are you tired of that yet? Does that yoke feel good? It doesn't feel good. That yoke never felt good to me. And I know it doesn't feel good to you. And so he says, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. I'm like, well, bring it on. Bring on the easy and my light burden. And when he says, I came to give you peace and peace abundantly, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, where's some of that?
Right.
And so I had to question, am I walking in his peace? Can I choose his peace? Is peace an option for me? Is peace something I can choose? Like I can choose a candy bar. I mean, I can choose a candy bar.
Right.
Can I choose peace? And I will tell you, when you get tired enough of being tired enough, and you get tired and exhausted from all your guilt trips, you just decide you are not in charge of the world. You can only do one thing at a time. All you can do is all you can do. And you have to trust God with everything that you cannot do. And the cool thing about, I just wrote a YouVersion Bible plan that I just told you about called The Lie of Not Enough. Mm-hmm. It's on YouVersion. And it's the whole story about sufficiency. And if he called us and he equipped us for his purposes, then we are enough through his strength, but not really necessarily in our own strength. So I have found that dying every day before I get out of bed, dying to my ideas, my plans, my schedule, how good of a wife I'm supposed to be that day, how good of a mother, how perfect my performance treadmill is supposed to look. If I could just simply die to it every morning and ask him to live through me as his hands and feet and let him do and multiply what I could only do. I mean, I don't know about you, Yvette, but I only got two fish and five loaves.
Right.
And that's just not enough to feed everybody.
Right.
And it's really not enough to satisfy my soul either. And what he says in that story is, you give me everything you have. Don't keep any of it. Give me everything you have and I'll make it more than that. I will multiply it. So my admonition to a young mom is, center yourself before you get out of bed. Die to yourself, your plans, your to-do list, your self-ordained importance, your plan, your way. and just as die and say, Lord, I receive any divine interruptions you give me today. I go with your flow today. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Because, you know, if you really asked a woman, does she really want her way today? Or would she rather have his will his way today? I mean, of course we all want his will.
Right.
Because that's really more than we can hope or imagine. And I can imagine a pretty smooth day. But anyway, so Yvette, my whole point of this is the more I center myself before I start my day and I die so that I can live and I yield quickly my plans and I choose peace. I just choose peace. I'm going to live in peace this day. I'm going to not let the enemy rob, steal, and destroy my joy today. Do we have any say so in that?
Yeah, sure. We do. And I often have to do that. I have to consciously tell myself, okay, today is just going to be a good day. We're going to make this a good day. And not that I can do that in my own strength, but, you know, starting my day out every day in God's word. And sometimes, you know, I'll sit down to spend time in the word and to pray. And I feel so just empty and just like I don't even know what to get out of this. And oftentimes those are the days that he speaks to me the loudest. You know, he'll take me to a psalm or a proverb or, you know, whatever book of the Bible I'm reading through, and he'll just show me his way in there. And then other times, you know, I come away from that just feeling like, okay, I don't even know what that scripture meant for me today, but God has it there for a reason. And so I need to just trust that his word is alive and he has a purpose for every word that's written, but I have to purposely, I have to be very intentional oftentimes about where I am in life and where I am mentally and emotionally and almost force myself to find that joy, like you're saying, because sometimes it's just not easy.
No, I don't think it's ever easy, but I will tell you the good news or the bad news is that we have choice.
Right.
He gave us choice. And he gave us a God-shaped void in our lives so that we would choose him, the intimate knitter, knower, redeemer, restorer, purpose filler, sustainer. He wanted that relationship with us. And so I consider it now a gift, the fact that I have this void and this need instead of going, I can't handle it all. Now I look at that, Yvette, if we would look at our lack of ability to handle it all as the gift versus the curse that I can't do it all. Maybe it's the gift. No, you can't do it all.
Right.
Prioritize those things that you must do. And to me, a woman simply must settle her soul in the morning, because a woman, certainly in my mind, her heart is the center of her home. And you know, Yvette, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody
happy.
No. So right. Sometimes I think we wish God would change things, mm-hmm. and we're really good blamers. And I think we don't realize that maybe it's 100% God through the Holy Spirit to do some life-changing work in our life, but it's 100% us to yield to 100% his work.
Sure.
And that's that dying every day that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I just found that instead of thinking that dying and yielding is weak, oh, I think dying and yielding is strength. And it's wisdom, so that you can do multiplied work because you're filled with his plans and his purposes versus this little bit of haughty, I have this big to-do list today and I'm so important because look at my list of all I have to do.
Right.
And then to humbly bow ourselves and say, Lord, you know my husband, my plans, my home, you know my plans, but you have greater purposes.
Yeah.
And I yield my plans for your purposes. And then we have to choose peace and go with the flow.
Yeah.
We don't need to carry that load of guilt that every mother I think carries a load of guilt, and every mother kind of carries the failure word in her life. Maybe they're kind of correlate where we feel like a failure when you're being a great mom with the kids in this moment. There's your husband in the kitchen hungry for lunch, you know, and then you're thinking, well, I'm not being a great wife while I'm being a great mom, or I need to call my sister today, but I'm busy loving my kids. So I don't think we're ever supposed to do everything all the time. We're supposed to do whatever's in front of us and work heartily in that moment for the Lord, for his greater glory. And then we just have to trust him with the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, that's right. And like you said, for his greater glory, that's one thing I just realized over and over and over again is that on my own, I cannot do any of this stuff. I'm just completely incapable of getting even through an entire day and accomplishing anything of significance without him. And so he gets all the glory for that. And, you know, it's not that I don't work and I sit around and just expect him to do everything. But anything that I do well, I do it because he's given me the ability to do it, because he's given me health for the day. He's giving me rest for the day. He's given me whatever it is that he has provided for me. It's all by him and for him. And so he gets all the glory for it. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and let's talk a little bit more about the book.
Okay.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton. Have you left a review for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast yet? If you haven't, then pause the show right now and go do it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Have you done it yet? Great. Then back to the show.
Let's talk now about your book, Are You Enough? Encouragement for the Overwhelmed and Exhausted Homeschool Mom. Because like we said at the beginning of the podcast, oftentimes this is it. This is one of the number one reasons why moms often choose not to homeschool. They don't even consider it because they think they're not enough. And I was one who certainly thought that. You know, I've shared this on the podcast many times, but I hated school growing up. And when I say hated it, I mean, I literally despised anything academic. It was very difficult for me. And I couldn't wait to be out of high school. I just wanted to be done with it. I never wanted anything to do with school again. And so the thought of homeschooling my kids was just, it wasn't even a consideration. I just was like, there's no way that I would torture myself by going back to school again and then teaching my kids. You know, I did not grow up as one of those little girls who aspired to be a teacher. I aspired to be a wife and a mom. That's what I wanted to do. And so then I became a wife and a mom, and God gave me these precious children. And then all of a sudden I find myself with really no other option but to homeschool. And now I love it. And again, just as we were talking about before earlier, I'm not enough without Christ. He is enough in me, and he is what he's the one who fills in all the gaps for me and even makes it possible for us to be able to do this. But talk about the book. Can you walk us through a little bit about how you encourage these overwhelmed and exhausted moms who think that they're not enough, and talk to that mom who's just like, nope, can't do it. I cannot homeschool. I'm not enough to do this.
Okay. Well, Yvette, first off, there's two of us on this podcast, and two out of two, which is 100% of us, didn't want to homeschool or didn't think we were enough to homeschool.
Right.
I think that's real common. It's a rare woman who absolutely dreams of homeschooling. I wasn't one of them either. And so my book kind of goes through four sections. It talks about beginning the journey. And for me, beginning the journey was totally faith. I remember going, no way am I going to homeschool. First off, I thought those people were weird.
Right.
I mean, they baked their own bread. They had a vegetable garden. They knit sweaters or something. And I just remember thinking, there's no way I'm not going to do that. I'm not patient enough. I'm not smart enough. Mm-hmm. And I had this big I. And then in praying it through, the Lord convicted me. It wasn't all about I. It was a greater call on my family and on my life to do this. So when my husband said, I don't think we can homeschool because you don't know what year the War of 1812 was fought in. And what was so funny is that flew right over my head. I didn't even understand the question, which was so sad. That's it was kind funny. Of funny, but it was sad because once I got that I didn't get that silly question, I remember going, see, case in point.
Right.
I am not enough to do this. I'm not smart enough and I'm not patient enough. So I had to wrestle with the idea of sufficiency right there. Mm-hmm. And then don't even talk about curriculum. I didn't even know what curriculum was. And I remember going to a mentor of mine who was assigned to help me homeschool. And I went up to her and I said, what is curriculum? And I think she was like, you're homeschooling, you don't know what curriculum is? I'm like, yeah, that's how bad it is. Anyway, so I had to get over that. And I remember going, okay, I am so convicted I should homeschool. And I'm so sure that I have no idea what I'm doing, that you know, I'm just going to hang on to the hem of the garment. And Lord, you better show up and show off through me. And of course, he's absolutely willing to do that in our lives. But first thing, we have to die to our agenda. So the book is about my overcoming my doubts to homeschool. Then all the confusion and the overwhelm. I can't believe we have to homeschool every kid, every day, every subject, every learning type, every personality type, good days, bad days. It's like, it was like, that's just way too much. So it's about hanging on. And then there's a section in the book called letting go. It says hanging on, you hang on. And then you finally come to a place where you let go. And either God redeems and restores what the locusts have eaten. Mm-hmm. In other words, those things you missed.
Right.
Or he doesn't. And he's a God of his promises. So I just remember needing community to keep my sanity. And I needed people like you telling me that I'm okay. Because, you know, I think you're really okay, Yvette.
Well, thank you.
You might think I'm really okay, but I'm not sure I'm okay all the time. So I got in a community. I thought that was very important to hanging on and to going the course. And then the whole letting go and the dying to perfectionism. Oh, that's a curse. And comparison, that's another killer of joy.
That's a big one.
Oh, comparison and perfectionism will absolutely take your joy and make you quit.
Yes.
You cannot compare. Nobody else is supposed to be your children's mother.
That's right.
And nobody else is going to homeschool them like you. And nobody's supposed to. And you know what? God wasn't confused when he assigned you to do this job. Hmm. And who loves our kids better than us?
That's right.
I like what a friend of mine said to me. She says that she believed that if we could teach them character and reading, writing, and arithmetic, that they could figure everything else out.
Right.
I don't know that I agree with all that, but the whole premise of discipling our kids and teaching them character and finding their niche in the body of Christ and their giftings and their skills, and then almost letting them launch into this voracious appetite that God has called them to learn something that they love, a skill or a gift to give. Anyway, navigating all that was just one day at a time, one moment at a time, one encouraging word from a friend at a time, one encouraging day with the Lord at a time, one dying to live at a time. And then finally, at the end of the book, I talk about, I talked about the beginning of faith. I talked about hanging on. A lot of us don't want to hang on. And then I talked about letting go, which is dying to perfectionism and comparison. And then my last part of the book talks about peace in the journey. And that's what I want for all of our listeners. I want a woman to walk in peace. She's just better being a peaceful soul and better living in freedom. And so I talk about peace, and peace came after the letting go, not before.
Right. Well, chapter 11 is actually titled Surrendering All to Stand on His Promises. And that's what we were talking about in the first part of the podcast.
A friend of mine, Lisa Turkhurst, just wrote a book recently called It Wasn't Supposed to Be This Way.
Yeah.
And I feel like there are some things in your homeschool journey that you just want to go, no, it wasn't supposed to be this way.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that happens with your marriage and your parenting. Forget homeschooling. It happens with all of them.
Sure.
And I just think, if God, he's just a God of his promises, and that's our solid ground. And it wasn't supposed to be this way, because God's mind is not the mind of man. And he's really got for us more than we could hope or imagine. And generally, it's with a beautiful, you and I have already said it before, a beautiful dying to live. It's kind of a letting go of the as I mentioned, the control freak. And it's really pride of man. We want to be in control.
Right.
We want to make sure we have a perfect marriage and we have perfect children and we have a perfect schedule. And honestly, all we can do every day is love our people to the best we can and do the best we can. And we simply have to trust God with the best.
Yeah, that's right. And show up. That's one thing. We interviewed Connie Albers for the movie. And that was one of the things that she said that continues to just play over and over in my mind. Just show up. Just show up and trust God. And he's going to do this. You know, we certainly have to show up and be, present emotionally as well as physically. But show up and let God do his work. And again, then he gets all the glory for it. It's a win-win.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Well, one of the biggest game changers of my whole life has been the game-changing power of gratitude. Hmm. And many years ago, when I was in a huge slump of just the journey, and life was really hard and beautifully breaking me. Ooh. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Did I say beautifully?
Beautifully.
I think I did. Oh gosh, did I really? I would never want to be the woman I was before I went through this season of brokenness. But gratitude was just such a great antidepressant for my life. And I studied what the word had to say about, he does say in all things, give thanks. He does not say for all things to give thanks, but in all of them, give thanks. And I got where I started recording my thanks in a gratitude journal. I was inspired by Ann Voskamp's book, A Thousand Gifts. And I started recording my thanks. And after I got to 1,000, I decided I was going to go to a couple thousand. And what I realized is a grateful heart cannot exist with an anxious heart. One or the other is going to exist. So just when you said that your friend said, just show up. Mm-hmm. I would say my biggest game changer is give thanks. In all things, give thanks.
Yeah.
The word also says lean not on your own understanding. So you don't have to understand what's going on to give thanks. You just have to trust a trustworthy one. So a few years ago, I penned a statement and I put it on my wall. And it says, I choose a confident trust. No, I choose a quiet rest and a confident trust in the trustworthy one. And mm-hmm. I think once I decided he either is or isn't trustworthy, and I was or wasn't going to give thanks, it just changed my life. And it kind of helped me let go. So Yvette, whenever I'm depressed now, whenever I'm stressed now, whenever I have an anxious heart, I know that I need to change into the eternal perspective mode and thank God for whatever he's doing, even though I don't always understand.
Yeah.
And gratitude's really been a game changer for me.
Yeah, that is a great reminder. I was just talking to my girls about this the other day. We were talking about just responsibilities around the home, be it laundry or dishes or, whatever it is, cleaning the bathroom. And I was saying one of the things that has helped me tremendously, like you, over the past several years, is if I'm doing laundry, instead of grumbling about doing laundry, praise God that we've got clothes to wear, and praise God we have a washing machine and a dryer to wash and dry them with. And
that's
if
exactly
we're
right.
doing dishes, praise God that we have dishes and food to put on them. If I have to go to Walmart, for goodness sake, praise God that I get to go to Walmart and that he's provided the finances that I have in order for us to buy food so that we can feed our family. And it really is all about perspective. And if we change our perspective and we have a God perspective, it really does change a lot. So, thank you.
Have you read Ann's book too? Because you sound like you've read Ann's book.
I have not, actually.
There's a lot of things produced on gratitude.
Okay.
And I think why there's so many things produced on gratitude is it is such a game changer for me.
Yeah.
It's got to be in the top two or three things that I believe a woman can do to totally change her game.
Yeah. Well, and with homeschooling, praise God that we have the freedom to have our children home with us, because it hasn't always been this way. We've talked a lot about that. And homeschooling has not been legal for very long in this country, and certainly not in all 50 states. And so praise the Lord that we have the freedom still today. And we need to continue to fight for that freedom, which is why we continue to work alongside state leaders and HSLDA and people like that, because we need to keep that freedom. But we have it now. And so praise God that we have that. And let's continue to be grateful for it. So we are out of time for the podcast. But thank you so much, Roxanne, for your encouragement. We will link to the book in the show notes and to your website and all things Roxanne Parks. And thank you for your encouragement today. And thank you for letting me be just real and vulnerable with you and with the audience as well. And by the way, I hope it didn't come across that any of those people ever make me feel guilty. You know, I have a great husband who is incredibly encouraging and supportive and, you know, two amazing girls, and we do this thing as a family. But oftentimes I hear that little enemy sitting on my shoulder saying, nope, you're not doing this right. You're not doing this right. You're not doing this right. And I need to be reminded that the Lord is enough. And
that's right.
And not feel guilty about all the things that I'm constantly grappling with. So thank you again. For those listening to the podcast, thank you guys so much for listening today. I hope you have a great homeschooling day today. Give your kids a big, huge hug today and tell them that you are thankful for them. I know I ask this all the time, and some of you do, but if you would stop what you're doing for just a minute, go to iTunes, go to reviews, and leave a review for the podcast, that is a huge blessing to us. It's not because we want to have all these pats on the back and have people, you know, tell us how amazing the podcast is. It's because the more reviews we have, the more people will be exposed to the podcast. And it just kind of moves us up in the ranks of podcasts on education, on homeschooling, on parenting, things like that. So it really, really does make a difference. And also, if the Lord puts it on your heart to support the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked financially, we are really in need of that. I was talking with Roxanne before we jumped on today and saying, you know, I think some of you know, but I don't know if you all know, we basically, we live off of support right now from other people as we're getting the movie done and working on the podcast and working on the blog and social media and all things Schoolhouse Rocked. And the Lord provides for us through people like you. And oftentimes people will give, you know, $10 a month. Some will give $20 or $25 a month. Some will give $100 a month, but that is literally what is getting us moving forward with the movie and getting this movie done and getting the podcast done and keeping the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked going. So if you would pray about that, and if the Lord puts it on your heart to help support us financially, we would greatly appreciate that. You can go to schoolhouserocked.com and you'll see right on the front of the page, you can see the trailer, and then there's a button that is easy to click on, and you can actually make a tax deductible donation to do that. So anyway, Roxanne, thank you. You are a blessing. It's been so much fun getting to know you, and I appreciate you.
Thanks a bunch of it. I enjoyed talking to you as well.
Thank you so much. All right, you guys have a great day, and we'll see you back next week.